The story goes the Emperor Charlemagne wanted to have a magnificent bell cast for the church he had built. An artist named Tancho was employed by the church to make it. He was furnished at his own request with a great quantity of copper and 100 pounds of silver for just that purpose. He kept the silver for his own personal use and substituted in its place a quantity of highly purified tin. When the work was completed, he presented the bell to the emperor, who had it suspended in the church tower. The people, however, were unable to ring it, so Tancho himself was called in to help. But he pulled so hard that its tongue fell down and killed him. The bellmaker's death reminds me of the words in Psalm 7:16. It says, "His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown." Sooner or later, we all reap what we sow. We'll have nothing to fear if what we sow is good. But we're constantly trying to do is repeal this law of sowing and reaping. We want to sever that connection between action and consequence in every area of our life. And it's a universal human urge. People want to enjoy the benefits without paying the price. Take money. Look at the popularity of the lottery. It's an opportunity to become wealthy without any sort of work. There are other ways to acquire wealth, but they're not nearly as appealing because they all involve some sort of work. That's why we liked shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and we see these people winning all kinds of money and just by answering a few questions. There's no years of working late at the office, no years of sacrificing and saving and investing, just 10 minutes of sitting across from Regis and boom, instant wealth. Or whoever's, I don't even know if that show is around anymore, but... And one of the reasons these shows are so popular is the appeal of having wealth without having to earn it. It's the appeal of breaking that link between work and reward. Now, while these people may be able to acquire wealth without labor or reverse the consequences of, say, self-indulgence and whatever that may be in their lives, there's at least one area of life where the law of sowing and reaping always applies, and that's in our spiritual life. Our character, our relationship with God, our relationships with one another, these are all ruled by the law of sowing and reaping. It's part of the moral fabric of the universe, if you will. The law can't be overturned. It can't be repealed by winning a lottery ticket. It holds pretty fast. And so the way of wisdom is not to war against it, but to understand it and to live by it and to benefit from it. Ignoring the law of sowing and reaping only leads to sorrow and regret. What we need to do is respond to it in a way that's spiritually healthy and pleasing to God. Over in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." What is Paul saying here? Well, he's saying, do not be deceived. God can't be mocked. Some people today, a lot of people today, most people today are mocking God. Not openly, of course. Not thumbing their nose at God. They're not glaring up at the sky, laughing at God, taunting him, daring him to strike them down. But they're mocking him by the way that they live. They ignore God. They ignore his law. They live however they please, with no thought or concern about God. People think that they're beating the system. They think they're getting away with it. They think that as long as they're clever enough to cover their tracks, as long as they can avoid discovery and exposure, as long as no one finds out, they can do whatever they want. But what is Paul what Paul is telling us here is that they're not going to get away with it. No one is getting away with anything. It's corroding them from the inside out. It's destroying their integrity. It's eroding the foundation of their relationships and placing a barrier between them and God. And sooner or later, it's going to come out. Sooner or later, they will reap what they've been sowing. I'd like to read something from MinnesotaPublicRadio.org. Back in 2013, see if this doesn't sound familiar. For decades, leaders of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis have known about the misdeeds of priests within their ranks. Sexual abuse of children, abuse of vulnerable adults, inappropriate relationships, and theft. In many cases, leaders knew but actively looked away. In the fall of 2013, a whistleblower from within the church headquarters exposed the cover-ups and extra payments, and the story continues to unfold. Did they expect to be exposed? Probably not. Most certainly not. And a result, there were stained careers, there were stained reputations, people were hurt, probably until they go into their graves. Lots of people were hurt. But what if we don't get caught? Sometimes the cover-up seems to work. What if you're never exposed? What then? Well, at the very least, hidden sin weakens our relationship with God. When we try to conceal our sin, it distances us from our Father. It erects a barrier to prayer. It destroys fellowship with the Father. And at worst, concealed sin shows that there was never really a relationship with God to begin with. You see, people who think they're getting away with it may be able to con everyone around them every day of their lives until the day of their death. But they can't con God. There will be a judgment, and all of the deeds, good and bad, will be exposed. Over in Hebrews 4:13, it says, "And there is no creation hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom he must give account," or we must give account. Everything we sow eventually bears fruit. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Stephen Covey called it the law of the farm. If what we're sowing is bad, then the harvest will be bad. Whether our deeds come to fruition in this life, or whether they are exposed at God's judgment seat on the last day. Sowing and reaping, deed and consequence. But here's the question. What are we sowing in our lives right now? Today, this Sabbath. How did you spend your day yesterday? Are you giving any thought to what you're going to harvest from the seed you're planting now? Are we seeking to please God, sowing seeds of obedience and service to Him? Or are we sowing seeds of sin that will produce shame when Christ returns? Our words and actions and decisions are more significant than we can possibly know. What are we sowing in our own spiritual lives? Are we reading the Bible? Are we praying? Are we cultivating a relationship with God? Or are we neglecting our spiritual life? What kind of harvest are we expecting? Are we sowing seeds to produce a strong faith and joy and peace? Are we expecting a harvest of flowers and fruits and vegetables or weeds? What are we sowing with in our relationships with our spouses? Criticism, neglect, disapproval? We shouldn't be surprised if those seeds produce weeds. Are we sowing encouragement and praise and attention? And the harvest of those seeds is love. What about our relationship with others? Are we sowing peace or are we sowing discord? And here's the key. We don't have a choice as to whether the law of sowing and reaping is going to apply in our lives. It does. We don't have a choice whether the seeds we plant are going to bear fruit. They will. And we don't have the option of harvesting good fruit without first planting the seeds. The only choice we have is what kinds of seeds are we going to plant. The choices we're making today, the actions we're taking today with respect to our families, our marriages, our children, our relationship with God, and our time and money, these all bear fruit. Either good fruit that will bring us happiness, or bad fruit that will bring us heartache and sorrow. That's our choice. We have to decide. We can't blame others for the choices we make. We like to try. We like to put the blame on somebody else. But we ultimately are responsible for the choices that we make. But this law of sowing and reaping is not necessarily, well, it's absolutely true, but it's not necessarily simple in its application. For example, sometimes the good fruit doesn't look all that good to us. We do our best to obey God. We pray. We study. We speak the truth. We seek peace with others. We stay faithful to our spouses, and we love our kids. And yet, still, things still go wrong. Conflict and bitterness, angry words, betrayal, tears, sorrow. What gives? I thought that if I sowed good things, I would receive a good harvest. But let's look again at Paul's words. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So what do we see? Paul thought it was necessary to caution us against becoming weary, because we do. He spoke about reaping a harvest at the proper time. Why? Because sometimes the harvest doesn't come when we expect or when we want it to. Sometimes the harvest takes months, years, maybe even decades. Sometimes the harvest comes too late for us to see it. Moses died before entering the promised land. Sometimes we're unaware of those people that we've influenced. The fruit appears when we're not around to see it. And in some cases, the harvest just doesn't come in this life at all. Our reward will be, well done, good and faithful servant. And here's another thing. Not only does the fruit sometimes appear at a time when we don't expect, sometimes it appears in a form we don't recognize as good fruit. We were expecting strawberries and we got potatoes. Sometimes the result of obedience is not an improvement in our circumstances, but a strengthening of our faith and a refining of our character. God, in His wisdom, defines that as good fruit, even though we may be looking for something else. So what should we be doing? Well, we need to reflect on how we're living. We need to consider what kind of seeds we're planting with our life. We need to work to plant the right kind of seeds so we won't be disappointed at harvest time. We need to place our trust and confidence in God. Only He can produce a good harvest. It's by His power and grace, and not because of our effort, that good fruit comes. It's all about Him. Finally, what about the bad seed we've already sown? Some of us have come into this calling at times when we were doing a lot of bad things. The sins we've already committed, the months or years that have been wasted. Well, we may have to endure the consequences of our sin because we reap what we sow. It's like the young girl who gets pregnant out of wedlock and has a baby, and she repents, but she's still got that baby, and that baby's going to grow up. She's going to have to take care of that baby probably for the rest of her life. We may need to accept that we're going to be reaping some bad fruit. Maybe even reaping fruit of someone else's wrong choices. We do that a lot, don't we? People in your family, people you know, we reap the consequences of their bad choices. In Christ, the punishment for our sins is removed and our guilt is completely erased. We're no longer under God's condemnation. Our sins will not bear the fruit of God's wrath, and they won't bear His judgment either. Although we may still have to experience the consequences of our action in this world, Christ will make sure there is no harvest of judgment in the next.